First Corinthians chapter 16. I'd like to read a few verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning with verse 10. Now, Timotheus, come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Then verse 15, I beseech you there, brethren, for you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. In Titus chapter 1, we have a very interesting statement. In Titus 1, verse 8, talks about the pastor. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. A lover of good men. Much of your reputation is known by who your friends are. Much of your testimony is a revelation. Your friends are a revelation of your true testimony. A pastor is to be a lover of good men. As you think of the Apostle Paul, we have a few words about some of his helpers, about his companions. And as we look at his companions, we see a revelation of the heart of the Apostle Paul. And we can see why he would say to Titus, the pastors, be a lover of good men. Now, we get an idea of what he means by good men. Here in this passage of Scripture, first of all, he talks about Timothy. If Timothy has come, well, what about Timothy? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Now, Paul is in prison in Rome, his first imprisonment in Rome. There's glimpses of he's going to be released. And he's sending to, writing to the church at Philippi. And he's telling them, as soon as he knows, you're going to send Timothy and let him know what's going to happen to him. And then as soon as he can, he is going to go to Philippi himself. And so we know that when he was released from prison, the ship sailed from Rome to wherever, to Ephesus. And there Apostle Paul visited the church of Ephesus with Timothy, his companion. And he found that, as had been predicted in Acts chapter 20, that grievous wolves had come in who would come and lead people astray after their own selves. And so there were some things to get to fixed up in Ephesus. And 1 Timothy is written as Paul goes to Philippi. And he says in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God," which is the church of the living God. He sends Timothy to take care of the matters at Philippi. And we recognize some important things about Timotheus. He was selfless. He was a selfless person. He was not going to use the ministry for any other purpose than for God's purpose. He was not going to go and misrepresent the Apostle Paul. He wasn't going to make it his own ministry. He was a faithful man. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, that he was to commit the things that he had been heard to faithful men. And Timothy was a faithful man. He had the spirit of loyalty, like the spirit of a son to a father, which is normal. And so Timothy was a good man. Apostle Paul was surrounded with good men. And Timothy was one of them. Dependable. Selfless. Obedient. Loyal. Timothy. Here in 1 Corinthians, we read about another friend of the Apostle Paul, close companion. He says, "I beseech you, brethren," verse 15, "to know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Wow. Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Do you know that that is laughed at today? I hope you know that. If you are so committed to the ministry that they would call you addicted to the ministry. That you are being psychologically manipulated. That's the books that are being passed out there by Fundamental Baptists. But what about Stephanas? addicted to the ministry. Now, the word addicted is translated in different places. You can look it up in your Bible program. It's translated ordered. It's translated ordained. It has the idea that he has carefully organized his life. He has carefully determined what's going to be first in his life. And what is it? The ministry. That's what he said. His life is going, his life, he had testimony, his life revolved around the ministry. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think the Apostle Paul, his life revolved around the ministry? Yeah, I think so. And who is this Stephanas person? Now it talks about the household of Stephanas. The first fruits of Achaia. Now Corinth is Achaia. Okay? Couple insights into that. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. See, you shouldn't depend on your memory. Verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia. Now, 1 Corinthians 16 said the household of Stephanas was the first fruits of Achaia. Romans tells us this Epaphras was the first fruits of Achaia. Now, Westcott Hort figured that must be a mistake, so they changed Achaia to Asia. So if you got an NIV, it's got, it says Asia. But there's no mistake there. The household of Stephanas, Epaphras, was the first one in Stephanas' house to get saved. And the household of Stephanas was of the first fruits of Achaia. What does that mean? Well, they were the first ones to get saved. It's exciting to be able to say that the first person saved, the public ministry of not quite organized, Quantico Baptist Church, was Rick Simonson. That's exciting. That's exciting. And in Achaia, the first fruit was the household of Stephanas, and Epaphras was the first one. And, you know, many of you could say here that you were the first one in your family to get saved. First one. And then we have now the first ones to get saved at Achaia. Now, kind of paints an interesting picture. You know, the first ones. You know, sometimes the second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one are easy, but the first one. The first one doesn't have anybody going before him. First one isn't going on anybody else's shirt tails. The first one is counting the cost. They're counting the cost. And They know what it means to be alone. And they aren't getting saved because someone next to them is getting saved. They're getting saved because Jesus Christ died for them and they want to live for Him. First fruits. And it kind of spills over into the character of Stephanas and his household. This, hey, count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. Count the cost to follow Jesus Christ. That's the kind of man that Stephanas was. That's the kind of man that the Apostle Paul considered a friend. You know, it's interesting in the Bible what God lifts up. You know, men lift up a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? But what does God lift up? I think of Acts chapter 15. They had the issue of the Judaizers and saying, you know, they're like the Church of Christ. They're trying to add something to salvation. Church of Christ, they try to say you're saved by faith in Christ, but it's really you're saved by baptism. And boy, if you don't get immersed, you're on your way to hell. And that's what the circumcised, the Judaizers were. It wasn't really about faith in Christ. It was really about circumcision. And so the church at Jerusalem met and they said, you know, these people say they're from our church, but let me tell you what, this isn't right. This isn't the truth. And they sent out the edict, and it was pretty important. And the book of Galatians was all written about that problem of adding circumcision to salvation. And it's just like the Lutherans trying to add baptism to salvation. Or, in fact, they make it... I just was reading Luther's Catechism before the service tonight, today, and it says right there in Luther's Catechism, you are saved by baptism. You are born into the family of God by baptism. You get eternal life by baptism. And wow! But anyway, it was it's a pretty important subject, and so they had written out their edict. The church voted to send two men to go up to Antioch and settle this issue. And in Acts 16. 25, it says, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And then it tells us what kind of men they were going to send. Men who have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Men who have hazarded their lives. They were willing to risk their life. Their testimony was they were so faithful and loyal to God and to His Word, they would be willing to die. And they had put themselves in a place where they had hazarded their lives. Their life was on the line. They could have died because of the work of God for the truth's sake. He says, boy, these are the kind of people we want to entrust with the truth. You can depend upon them. You can depend on those kind of people. They're genuine. There's the real deal. And so it says, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, whom shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Now notice this thing, okay? They want to make sure that the people that they send from the church with the edict are going to say the same thing that the church had decided. Not, you know, add a little bit to it, you know, not twist it around, not, you know, soften it up, but to tell exactly the truth. And you know what? In a very loaded situation, you have to have a loyal man, don't you? How do you know someone's loyal? How do you know someone's going to be loyal? You test them by life. Jeff Rowley was in Africa. He thought he led a Muslim man to the Lord. This man professed to be saved, did Bible studies, and started to work for Jeff, and etc. And after a while, I mean, it was so, you know, like, wow, man, a Muslim gets saved. And Jeff thought, you know, something's fishy here. So he purposely put some money in his dresser. And he left to do some errands. And this young man was in the house. He came back, money was gone. There's only one person that would steal it. It was that person. The colors had been shown. That's who he really was. And Paul says, the Bible says, the church said, now, what kind of men are we going to entrust with this very sacred thing? Men we can trust. Men who have proven they're trustworthy. Men who have proven their loyalty to Jesus Christ. You know, what does the Bible say? What is a disciple? A disciple is a person who denies themselves, takes up their cross, and follows Christ, obeys. They deny themselves. God's before them. They take up their cross. They don't care about reproach. They don't care about what people are going to do to them. They don't care about the cost. And then they obey. That's a true disciple. You know, I say, you probably heard me say this. If you want to know who a true friend is, you kneel at the cross. You sell out to Jesus Christ. Sell out! And kneel at the cross. And then just kind of look up and glance over and see who's next to you, kneeling right next to you. There you go. That's a true friend. A true friend is a friend of Christ. And they've proven it. Now the Apostle Paul, he surrounded himself with those kind of people. Those are the kind of people he surrounded himself. Now, if you're going to serve God, that's the kind of people you need to surround yourself around. Because that tells you who you are. That tells who you are. That tells about who you are before God. You know, they say birds of a feather flock together. Now, it's interesting. Now, Paul's instruction to the Corinthians about his co-workers. Verse 10, now Timotheus, come. See that he may be without you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Now Timothy is going and he's representing the Apostle Paul. He's going to Corinth. And Paul's concerned about their reaction. He's concerned about their reaction. He's concerned how they're going to treat Timothy. Why? Because Timothy is associated with the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul just wrote them, in some places, a scathing letter. Right? It was the Word of God. And he says, make sure he doesn't have to be afraid. Make sure that he doesn't have to be afraid. In other words, you need to respond to the truth. You need to take the truth humbly. And you don't need to take out your sin on Timothy. You need to receive him. Because he does. He's working the work of the Lord. You know, it's kind of interesting if you turn to Matthew chapter 10. The Lord gives these instructions to his disciples, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth not me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, the way you respond to Timothy is how you're responding to me, but really it's how you're responding to God. Because he's bearing the truth. He's bearing the truth. And you know, somehow people have this in their idea that they can reject the truth from men, but that they aren't rejecting it from God. God uses men as messengers. And you know what? The issue of life is a person needs to be Spirit-filled so they can tell and know that human instruments are God's instruments. You have to be close enough to God to know that human instruments are God's instruments. If you can't tell the difference, then you can't. There's nobody that can tell you anything. So then, 1 Corinthians, we see this... again, this instruction now concerning Stephanas. It says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it's the first fruits of Achaicus, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such. Now the word you submit is the word upastao means to put yourself under. Put yourself under their authority. Submit. They're just men. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. There was a response that was required. They're just men. They're just human vessels. But they were the helpers of the Apostle Paul. And there was, as they bore this letter back to the church at Corinth, there needed to be due respect and honor that was given them. You know, in verse 17, I am glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. It would say that the letter to the church at Corinth answers some questions. And the book of Corinthians, when they start the phrase out, now, that word now is introductory word answering a question that they sent with Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaia to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is in Ephesus, and Corinth, this is across the sea there, sent them to ask Apostle Paul these questions. And he answers those questions in the book of 1 Corinthians, but he also addresses some problems. And I just wonder, here comes Stephanas back, and guess what? Tattletale is coming. Tattletale is coming. Stephanas, the tattletale is coming. Or once they got the letter and read it, this is Stephanas the tattletale. Told Apostle Paul about this carnal divisions in the church, and a man taking his father's wife, and people taking the name of the Lord to court, won't suffer wrong, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody had to tell him. And what did the Apostle Paul say? Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. Submit yourselves unto such. And everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, in conclusion, as we think of the Apostle Paul and his labors, his fellow workers, just think of what God commends. Now, you want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Well, find out in the Bible, well, what does God commend? Well, you know what? God commended? God commendeth a person who is addicted to the ministry. That's the kind of person God commended. They just love serving God. They ordered their life. So they're never missing the work of God in any way. They put it first. The Bible, the translators understood this by the translating it the word addicted to the ministry. In other words, boy, that's any time that they had spare time, boy, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to serve God. I remember Mr. Raines, last time he preached on the family. How many remember that one? Remember that? You know, last time he preached on the family, he had 9 points, and three of the points were, be at work day with your family. Yeah, that was three of the points. Be at every work day. Do you want your family to turn out for God? Tell them it's a wonderful, exciting experience to work for God. That's what you were saying, right? Yeah. Addicted to the ministry. There's nothing else more important in life than serving God. You know, in other words, order your family around the work of God. That's what he was saying. Order your family around the work of God. Now, a lot of people, they think that's crazy. But they will get the crazy results of their crazy thinking. Addict yourself to the ministry. God thinks it's good. Lost people, they think it's crazy. Carnal people, they think it's crazy. Worldly Christians, they think it's crazy. Fleshly Christians, they think it's crazy. Pleasure seekers, they think it's crazy. But I'm sure that Stephanus is going to, when he stands before God and his family, God's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I have no man like-minded. He says to Timothy. He is so trustworthy. He is going to do it exactly the way it's supposed to be done. I can trust him. God needs people he can trust to obey the Bible, not to change it, not to modify it. God needs people that he can trust. You know, it didn't say by mistake in Luke 14, if a man hate not his father, mother, brother, sister, wife, children, houses, lands, and himself, he cannot be my disciple. Because what is he saying? The truth is right no matter who it affects. The truth is right is no matter who it affects. And God's people need to stand for the truth. It doesn't matter who doesn't agree with you and who might not like it or who it may affect. The truth is the truth. Got to stand for the truth. That's the spirit of a New Testament Christian. I wonder tonight as we think about this, people look at your friends. The people you surround yourself with. Are they the kind of people that Apostle Paul surrounded himself with? Those kind of people? People who are addicted to the ministry? People who put Christ first above everything else? People who would risk their life to witness and to do the will of God? People who are just consumed with living for God? Wow. Is that the kind of people around you? Or are you kind of fitting into the day in which we live and that, you know, Bible says in the last days men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, do your friends get together and say, "Hey, let's go to prayer meeting. Hey, let's go to work day. Hey, pastor, we just decided that we're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to get all the young people and all the young men, and we're going to go out there and split wood. We're going to get something done for God." Boy, wouldn't that be exciting? You'd say, "Man, we got revival. Our people on their own initiative are deciding, figuring out how to serve God." Wow. I tell you what, that's the kind of people the Apostle Paul hung around with. Those are the kind of people the Bible speaks well of. Pastor is a lover, is to be a lover of good men. Lover of good men. Better watch out who your heroes are. Your heroes are going to tell who you really are. Who are your heroes in this life? Lover of good men. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight and these great truths that we look at the companions of the Apostle Paul. Men who of great caliber. No wonder when the Apostle Paul found Timothy, he wanted him to go with him. Lord, help us to use these truths tonight to get a better idea of what's normal before the Lord. Being addicted to the ministry, that's not weird. That's good. To be selfless, totally reliable for the truth. It wasn't being a yes man. It was being a man of truth and reliability. Lord, help us to look at what we love. Help us to see our relationship with you in it. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed maybe tonight. You need to get first things first in your life. What you need to do is you need to kneel at the cross. You need to give up your life to serve Jesus. You need to get addicted to the ministry. And do it for God. And then look around you, the people that are surrendered, addicted. Now you know who some real friends are. But you don't live for friends, you live for Jesus. But if you live for Jesus, you'll get real friends. But the Lord is speaking to you tonight, saying, you know what, I got my priorities wrong. Got my priorities wrong. There's a lot of things getting in the way of serving Jesus. God's speaking to you about getting a passion to serve God. A passion to do the work of God. Being the kind of person that originates, looks for how you can serve the Lord. What you can do for God. The Lord is speaking to your heart tonight and say, Pastor, the Lord's speaking to me. I'm ready. I'm ready to put Jesus first. I'm ready to be the kind of person that the Lord would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The Lord has spoken to your heart tonight. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I know there's a decision, there's a change to be made in my life, a change in my heart, change in my direction, change in my friends, change in who I am. My relationship with Jesus Christ needs to fit into that mold that's spoken of tonight by the Apostle Paul and his friends. And by God's grace tonight, I'm making some decisions for God. Say, Pastor, pray for me. And you just lift up your hand as you make that a moment of surrender to the Lord. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. All right. Amen. You can put that down. Anyone else? Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Lord, now we pray that you'd bless these decisions. Work in hearts, Lord. We know that you will lead in the path of those who surrendered to thee. And I pray you would lead them in the path of righteousness. May your word continue to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.